All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Good evening. My name is Doug Thornton. This is American Vindicta. I would like to discuss with you for episode 33 the reasons why I don't trust our government. It's not necessarily based off of a person, though there are plenty that we should definitely keep our eyes on, but there's a repetition of history in intent. I'm going to go over a couple of these so-called conspiracy theories that are real, actual, documented military operations that the government actually approved of. And you're going to sit here and you're going to wonder, why is it that Doug constantly talks about Civil War or World War III? Why does he constantly bring up exhaustive material about the American Revolution, about what it means to be a patriot, about prepping, or constantly bringing up facts about the Nazi regime that very few people seem to know or care about? In the previous episode, episode 32, I read to you exhaustively what I thought you needed to understand about a possible future of America if we do not change our ways, if we do not become as wise as serpents, as the Bible tells us. What could America eventually look like? What could bring us into another civil war? That's what tonight's going to be about. But the impending future, it's quite a reflection, honestly, of Nazi Germany. Of course, the technology is going to be vastly different, and the roles are going to be vastly switched from a primarily man-driven national socialist government dictatorship. We now have this communist socialist woman-driven agenda that is being jammed down our throats, and it's not just, you know, mainly commented on by women, but they have a very large portion of this nasty sandwich that we got to take a bite out of now. And of course, I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, that other idiot that's bald. Hillary Clinton. Look at what just recently happened to Ghislaine Maxwell in that trial. All of those things that could have taken down national political leaders, sealed up by the courts and locked away, along with Miss Maxwell and all of her heinous crimes, which she should be hung for. I find it interesting how much our government and our political leaders and the elite will hide their crimes against humanity in front of our eyes. They'll have a court in front of us, but you, the public, are not allowed to see it. You're not allowed to hear it. You're not allowed to read any testimony or even see evidence. But you're allowed to know, hey, we did put one person in jail, but you can't know anything else about it. Well, why not? Could it be because maybe someone like Bill Clinton could be involved in it? Or many of the Hollywood elite? Or other military and political leaders from our government and other governments around the world? How about Hillary Clinton? Could it be that maybe her server in the 33,000 emails referenced any of this material that was recently read in court that we're not allowed to see or hear testimony on. Will we ever know? What a good question. I think we already know. I think America has already understood the fact that we have politicians who are involved in murdering children, or at the least bit, raping children, to the point that they have blood farms with infants. Some of this material is very hard to talk about for me, because I get anxious. I get highly agitated even considering the harming of children. Yet we have people who are in power who get very excited about it. And that should worry you, America. Because you're not allowed to know who they are. If you are a sex offender in this country, you have to register as one. Failure to register as a sex offender means you're going to go to prison. But within the hierarchy of the elites and the hierarchy of our government, if you are a child sex rapist, no one will ever know. Does that sound like equality? Does that sound like fairness and all this other BS that the administration and all these politics and these elitists, does that sound like anything they talk about? Well, because you'll never know, and it's wrapped in conspiracy and mysteries. At least I have some conspiracies that are no longer a mystery. And crazy enough, this one thing I'm about to read to you, and I don't know if we'll be able to get to other material. Right now, we're going to focus on Operation Northwoods, which turns into Operation Mongoose. And you may or may not have heard this. You may or may not have actually read the white paper on it. Just type in Operation Northwoods PDF. Type it into Google. It will pop up. And then you can actually read verbatim a letter that was sent to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Something to push us into another world war with Russia. And what the government was willing to do to its own civilians. The propaganda, the murder, even the point of faking people's deaths, faking military attacks, using all different forms of espionage and propaganda to bait another country into attacking us so that we can attack them and say, oh, look, provocation, they attacked us. Why? Why must we go down this route? Why must I take you by the hand and guide you back through the past? Because if we are ignorant of the past, we will replicate it again. And America will be caught off guard again. I'd like to give you a small amount of information that I want you to write down, and I want you to do your own research. Please do your research on these false flag operations that I'm about to read to you. And then you tell me if you believe all the crap our government gives us. After I give you all these false flag operations, you then look me in the eye and tell me you believe in COVID. You look me in the eye and tell me you believe that this came from Wuhan or didn't come from Wuhan. You look me in the eye and then you tell me, are we really about to get into a war with Russia in Ukraine? Are we possibly going to have a civil war? Could we possibly have internment camps in America for political dissidents or for whatever reason? Do your research, America. Tonight we're going to go over two things. Operation Northwoods, which turns into Mongoose, and we're going to touch just a little bit on Rex 84. Rex 84 is a little bit fast, so we'll cover that first. But before we do all that, I'm going to give you a list of things. All right, I'm going to go slow. Write them down. Operation Susanna, the Levon Affair. Operation Northwoods. Operation Mongoose. Operation Ajax. COINTELPRO. 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 FBI. Gulf of Tonkin. Rex 84. Operation Garden Plot. Jade Helm 16. And while you're at it, I want you to do some research. Project Bluebeam. Project Blue Book. The Monarch Project. Now, I gave you some material. Do your research, America. If you have no idea what I've just talked about, please do your research. Read up whatever you can on these topics. Starting the new year, we are going to cover every single one of them. Now then, on to tonight's lovely, familiar subject. I'm going to talk to you about something that's a little crazy, but it's real. Operation Garden Plot in Rex 84. Now, this is from the Constitution.org. Operation Garden Plot is a general U.S. Army and National Guard plan to respond to major civil disturbances within the United States. The plan was developed in response to the civil disorders of the 1960s and is now under the control of the U.S. Northern Command, NORTHCOM. It provides federal military and law enforcement assistance to local governments during times of major civil disturbances. Garden Plot was last activated as Noble Eagle to provide military assistance to civil authorities following the September 11, 2001 attacks on the United States. The Pentagon also activated it to restore order during the 1992 Los Angeles riots. Under Homeland Security restructuring, it has been suggested that similar models be followed. Oversight of these Homeland Security missions should be provided by the National Guard Bureau, based on the long-standing Garden Plot model in which National Guard units are trained and equipped to support civil authorities in crowd control and civil disturbance missions. Testimony of Major General Richard C. Alexander. Now, real quick, Operation Garden Plot in Rex 84 have to do with the rounding up of a civilian populace during whatever major civil disturbance or national emergency event is activated. In episode 32, through exhaustive talking, I read to you what the mission statement of the Nazi order police was. Their goal, as a form of a National Guard for Nazi Germany in the 30s and 40s, was to round up political dissidents and people that the Nazi Party deemed to not be humans anymore. What a comparison. To think that the United States government would have a similar program. Let's continue. According to scholar Diana Reynolds, Rex 84, the Readiness Exercise 1984 plan, is a plan developed by the United States federal government to test their ability to detain large numbers of American citizens in case of civil unrest or national emergency. The Rex 84 Alpha X Plan Readiness Exercise 1984 Exercise Plan, otherwise known as a Continuity of Government Plan, indicates that FEMA, in association with 34 other federal civil departments and agencies, along with other NATO nations, conducted a civil readiness exercise during April 5th through the 13th of 1984. It was conducted in coordination and simultaneously with a Joint Chiefs exercise called Night Train 84, a worldwide military command post exercise, including the continental United States forces, based on multi-emergency scenarios operating both abroad and at home. In the combined exercise, Rex 84 Bravo, FEMA, and DOD led the other federal agencies and departments, including the Central Intelligence Agency, the Secret Service, the Department of Treasury, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the Veterans Administration, through a gaming exercise to test military assistance in civil defense. The exercise anticipated civil disturbances, major demonstrations, and strikes that would affect continuity of government and/or resource mobilization. To fight subversive activities, there was authorization for the military to implement government-ordered movements of civilian populations at state and regional levels, the arrest of certain unidentified segments of the population, and the imposition of martial law. Existence of a master military contingency plan, garden plot, and a similar earlier exercise, Lantern Spike, were originally revealed by journalist Ron Ridenour, who summarized his findings in Garden Plot and the New Action Army. Rex 84 was mentioned during the Iran-Contra hearings in 1987, and subsequently reported on by the Miami Herald on July 5, 1987. Nonetheless, the basic facts about Rex 84 and other contingency planning readiness exercises, and the potential threat they pose to civil liberties if fully implemented in a real operation, are taken seriously by scholars and civil libertarians. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, what I just read should scare the living hell out of you. For example, here we go again. Exercises similar to Rex 84 happened regularly. Plans for roundups of large numbers of persons in the United States in times of crisis are constructed during periods of increased political repression, such as the Palmer raids and the McCarthy era. For example, from 1967 to 1971, the FBI kept a list of over 100,000 persons to be rounded up as subversive, dubbed the ADX list. This list contained many labor leaders, scholars, and public figures of the time. In 2008, for the first time, an active military unit has been given a dedicated assignment stateside for civil unrest containment. It is assigned to NORTHCOM, a joint command established in 2002 to provide command and control for federal homeland defense efforts and coordinate defense support of civil authorities. Once again, if you want to read this, go to constitution.org. Garden Plot and Rex 84 is the title. How does that make you feel, America? You may have fallen asleep during episode 32 because I gave you a long and boring history lesson. But once again, here's another history lesson. This is something that was developed in the late 80s. Yet, it sounds like it was just taken and adapted on from a Nazi-style military plan to round up an undetermined amount of people, and then it was just shifted to America. And then because of whatever excuse Pentagon or the politicians or whatever lawmakers want to make, they applied it for the use of internment camps for Americans. Now, we have internment camps in multiple countries around the world for COVID, and talks of that happening here in the United States, to the point that the CDC even said they had the legal right to do it. The CDC, who's not really a government agency, who's privately owned, who's not in the military, they're not a branch of law enforcement, they're not in the executive branch, they're not in the legislative branch. But yet the CDC says they have the right to do it. What else do these people think they have the right to do? We'll answer that right after this break.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
And welcome back. This is American Vindicta. We're about to talk about, we are about to talk about Operation Northwoods. The American version of the Nazi false flag for the Reichstag fires, which burned down the Parliament building in Germany. Quick reference back to episode 32. During the Reichstag fires, which was a false flag, that gave the Nazi government, a newly appointed Nazi government, unlimited policing powers. Unlimited. Nobody could question it. If you did, you were going to go to the same place everybody else was about to go. Either to the ground with a bullet in your head or in your back, or to a death camp. Do you think the United States government would do the same? I would tell you this much, and I'm a veteran, I'm a military veteran, I am a law enforcement veteran, and I would tell you this much, that having been there and done that with my time working for the government for 14, 15 years, I would not put anything past these people. If you ever meet any of these high-ranking people, if you ever hear any of the sidebar conversations, just look at the way the politicians talk now. They're so brazen about how they speak about other Americans. Do not think these people would not betray you if it suited them. I say that with a heavy heart, but I say that knowing full well, based off of what I'm about to read to you. Operation Northwoods is the definition of a false flag. When you hear this word false flag being thrown around, or conspiracy theory being thrown around, Operation Northwoods defines it for you. Operation Northwoods will show you the extent that our government is willing to go to defy laws, defy Congress, defy the Constitution. We are willing to put people's lives at risk, cause a war, kill innocent people, murder innocent people, all for war. War means great profit for the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex needs war to sell their war materiel to the government, which then these politicians get kickbacks for creating the war and approving it so that the military-industrial complex can then use their war materiel. It's a little bit of a circle. This is why Nancy Pelosi recently said that it should be legal and it should not be a problem or even questioned for why Congress can have insider trading and make these million-dollar deals with the military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical-industrial complex. Don't forget, not too long ago, in terms of history, Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us of a technocratic elite, of a rising military-industrial complex who would stop at nothing for endless wars. We have come into a time of peace, so-called, and I think we are about to see a time of war come back, based off of history, based off our economy, based off of our political downturn, the radicalization of societies in America. We are following the footpaths of many fallen empires. Fallen empires, as the timbers that hold up the roofs start to crumble upon them, will shoot out in every direction for anything as a lifeline, even if it means starting another war that they could potentially distract the population or gain quick wealth from. These politicians, they'll survive. They'll resign, and then they'll go work somebody else or work for someone else. They'll be a board member for whatever billion-dollar company is out there. You'll never hear from them again. But they'll be a part of some steering committee. This is the way our government works. This is why I don't even trust the Republicans. And I'm a hard sell. I'm a constitutional conservative. I'm a Christian. I believe in guns and God and apple pie and the American dream and rediscovering the frontier. And I believe in dangerous freedom. However, I'm also not an ignorant, stupid person who does not do my research, who spends all day on my phone playing video games. I would like to say that I'm well informed. However, I don't know everything. Even many of us, who I'm sure almost everyone listening to me right now are very well-informed people, you may not know everything like Operation Northwoods. And you may say, Doug, I just don't think our politicians are as bad as you think they are or as corrupt as you think they are. And you may be that 1 in 3 million person. But I'm about to prove to you why you should reconsider that thought after we come back from this break.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today where the economy of the world is in freefall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, welcome back. This is American Vindicta. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to run right into it. We are going to talk about Operation Northwoods. And you can go to nsaarchive2.gwu.edu and find this PDF. If anything, look up Operation Northwoods PDF on Google search engine, and it will bring you straight to this document, and you can read it. Please share it with other people if they don't think this government is ever capable of absolute corruption. For whatever reason, this is now unclassified. So, let's begin. The course of action which follow are a preliminary submission suitable only for planning purposes. They are arranged neither chronologically nor in ascending order. Together with similar inputs from other agencies, they are intended to provide a point of departure for the development of a single, integrated, time-phased plan. Such a plan would permit the evaluation of individual projects within the context of cumulative, correlated actions designed to lead inexorably to the objective of adequate justification for U.S. military intervention into Cuba. This is based off the 1960s, by the way, if you don't know anything about this. And words are very hard for me tonight. It's super late. It's 1:30 in the morning, and I'm reading this to you. So please bear with me. All right. Number one, since it would seem desirable to use legitimate provocation as the basis for U.S. military intervention into Cuba, a cover and deception plan to include requisite preliminary actions such as has been developed in response to Task 33C could be executed as initial effort to provoke Cuba reactions. Harassment plus deceptive actions to convince the Cubans of imminent invasion would be emphasized. Our military posture throughout execution of the plan will allow a rapid change from exercise to intervention if Cuba response justifies. 2. A series of well-coordinated incidents will be planned to take place in and around Guantanamo to give genuine appearance of being done by hostile Cuban forces, And they're speaking of Guantanamo Bay, by the way. All right, this is subsection A. Incidents to establish a credible attack, not in chronological order. 1. Start rumors. Many. Use clandestine radio. 2. Land friendly Cubans in uniform, quote, over the fence to stage attack on base. 3. Capture Cuban friendly saboteurs inside the base. 4. Start riots near the base main gate. Friendly Cubans to be used. 5. Blow up ammunition inside the base. Start fires. 6. Burn aircraft on air base. Sabotage. That's used for sabotage reasons. 7. Lob mortar shells from outside of base into base. Some damage to installations. I'm reading this verbatim, by the way. 8. Capture assault teams approaching from the sea or vicinity of Guantanamo City. 9. Capture militia group which storms the base. 10. Sabotage ship in harbor, large fires, using napalm. 11. Sink ship near harbor entrance. Conduct funerals for mock victims. Maybe lieu of 10. Which was the sabotage of ship in the harbor. Subsection B of 11. United States would respond by executing offensive operations to secure water and power supplies, destroying artillery and mortar emplacements, which threatened the base. C. Commence large-scale United States military operations. All right, now, 3. A. Remember the main incident could be arranged in several forms. And the main was the ship that they wanted to blow up in the harbor. We could blow up a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Bay and blame Cuba. We could blow up a drone, a unmanned vessel, anywhere in the Cuban waters. We could arrange to cause such incident in the vicinity of Havana or Santiago as a spectacular result of Cuban attack from the air or sea or both. The presence of Cuban planes or ships merely investigating the intent of the vessel could be fairly compelling evidence that the ship was taken under attack. The nearness to Havana or Santiago would add credibility, especially to those people that might have heard the blast or have seen the fire. The U.S. could follow up with an air-to-sea rescue operation covered by U.S. fighters to evacuate remaining members of the non-existent crew. Casualty lists in U.S. newspapers would cause a helpful wave of national indignation. 4. We could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area, in other Florida cities, and even in Washington. This is not made up. I just want to say that right now. This is real unclassified documents that the Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on. Thank God it never happened. Continuing, the terror campaign could be pointed at Cuban refugees seeking haven in the United States. We could sink a boatload of Cubans en route to Florida, with quotations, real or simulated. They could find a boatload of Cubans and sink it and blame it on a Cuban terrorist organization. We could foster attempts on lives of Cuban refugees in the United States, even to the extent of wounding in instances to be widely publicized. exploding a few plastic bombs in carefully chosen spots, the arrest of Cuban agents and the release of prepared documents substantiating Cuban involvement also would be helpful in projecting the idea of an irresponsible government. 5. A Cuban-based, Castro-supported filibuster could be simulated against a neighboring Caribbean nation in the vein of the 14th of June invasion of the Dominican Republic. They already had it planned. We know that Castro is backing subversive efforts clandestinely against Haiti, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, and Nicaragua at present, and possible others. These efforts can be magnified and additional ones contrived for exposure. For example, advantage can be taken of the sensitivity of the Dominican Air Force to intrusions within their national airspace. Quote, Cuban B-26 or C-46 type aircraft could make cane-burning raids at night. Soviet bloc incendiaries could be found. This could be coupled with, quote, Cuban messages to the communist underground in the Dominican Republic and, quote, Cuban shipments of arms which would be found or intercepted on the beach. Very well thought out. This is very well thought out. Number 6. The use of a MiG-type aircraft by U.S. pilots could provide additional provocation, harassment of civil air, attacks on surface shipping, and destruction of U.S. military drone aircraft by MiG-type planes would be useful as complementary actions. An F-86, properly painted, would convince air passengers that they saw a Cuban MiG, especially if the pilot of the transport were to announce such a fact. The primary drawback to this suggestion appears to be the security risk inherent in obtaining or modifying an aircraft. However, responsible copies of the MiG could be produced from U.S. resources in about 3 months. Number 7. Hijacking attempts against civil air and surface craft should appear to continue as harassing measures condoned by the government of Cuba. Concurrently, genuine defections of Cuban civil and military air and surface craft should be encouraged. Number 8. It is possible to create an incident which will demonstrate convincingly that a Cuban aircraft has attacked and shot down a chartered civil airliner en route from the United States to Jamaica, Guatemala, Panama, or Venezuela. The destination would be chosen only to cause the flight plan route to cross Cuba. The passengers could be a group of college students, off on a holiday, or any grouping of persons with a common interest to support chartering on a non-scheduled flight. Subsection A of number 8. An aircraft at Eglin Air Force Base would be painted and numbered as an exact duplicate for a civil registered aircraft belonging to a CIA proprietary organization in the Miami area. At a designated time, the duplicate would be substituted for the actual civil aircraft and would be loaded with the selected passengers, all boarded under carefully prepared aliases. The actual registered aircraft would be converted to a drone. Subsection B of number 8. Takeoff times of the drone aircraft and the actual aircraft will be scheduled to allow a rendezvous south of Florida. From the rendezvous point, the passengers carrying aircraft will descend to minimum altitude and go directly into an auxiliary field at Eglin Air Force Base, where arrangements will have been made to evacuate the passengers and return the aircraft to its original status. The drone aircraft, meanwhile, will continue to fly the flight plan, excuse me, words are hard tonight. when over Cuba, the drone will be transmitting on the international distress frequency a quote-unquote Mayday message stating he is under attack by Cuban MiG aircraft. The transmission will be interrupted by destruction of the aircraft, which will be triggered by radio signal. This will allow the ICAO radio stations in the Western Hemisphere to tell the United States what has happened to the aircraft instead of the United States trying to sell the incident. And I do read, quote-unquote, sell the incident. Number 9, it is possible to create an incident which will make it appear that the communist Cuban MiGs have destroyed a United States aircraft over international waters in an unprovoked attack. Subsection A of number 9. Approximately 4 or 5 F-101 aircraft will be dispatched in trail from Homestead Air Force Base, Florida, to the vicinity of Cuba. Their mission will be to reverse course and simulate fake aircraft for an air defense exercise in southern Florida. These aircraft would conduct variations of these flights at frequent intervals. Crews would be briefed to remain at least 12 miles off the Cuban coast. However, they would be required to carry live ammunition in the event that hostile actions were taken by the Cuban MiGs. I'm guessing the real ones. Subsection B. On one such flight, a pre-briefed pilot would fly Tell-In Charlie at considerable interval between aircraft. While near the Cuban island, this pilot would broadcast that he had been jumped by MiGs and was going down. No other calls would be made. The pilot would then fly directly west at extremely low altitude and land at a secure base on Eglin Auxiliary. The aircraft would be met by the proper people, quickly stored, and given a new tail number. The pilot, who had performed the mission under an alias, would resume his proper identity and return to his normal place of business. The pilot and aircraft would then have disappeared. Subsection C. At precisely the same time that the aircraft was presumably shot down, a submarine or small surface craft would disperse F-101 parts, parachutes, etc., at approximately 15 to 20 miles off the Cuban coast and then depart. The pilots returning to Homestead would have a true story as far as they knew. Search ships and aircraft could be dispatched and parts of the aircraft found. So what subsection C basically just said was they would already have had preloaded bits and pieces of this plane that they would then fake was shot down by a MiG, and either a small boat or a submarine would release this material. It would disperse, let the waves in the sea carry it, and make a long drag in the sea, so you have, you know, this long evidentiary line of blown up parts of a plane. And the ones who flew with this plane, as they would circle back around, they were not aware that this one plane would quote-unquote go down. All they would hear is a Mayday, he was shot down, and see pieces of his supposed plane cascaded throughout the waters. All right. Let's continue. Facts bearing on the problem. Number 1. The Joint Chiefs of Staff have previously stated that the U.S. unilateral military intervention in Cuba can be undertaken in the event that the Cuban regime commits hostile acts against U.S. forces or property, which would serve as an incident upon which to base overt intervention. 2. The need for positive action in the event that current covert efforts to foster an internal Cuban rebellion are unsuccessful was indicated by the Joint Chiefs of Staff on March 7, 1962 as follows. Determination that a credible internal revolt is impossible of attainment during the next 9 to 10 months. will require a decision by the United States to develop a Cuban, quote, provocation as justification for positive U.S. military action. Number three, it is understood the Department of State also is preparing suggested courses of action to develop justification for U.S. military intervention in Cuba. And that is the end of what I have that I've been able to find. So, what really are the bounds that the elite would stick to? What do they consider to be too far? Obviously, getting into a nuclear war was not a boundary that they were afraid to cross. Mutually assured destruction. They thought they were completely ready for it. Damn the population and what could have happened to all of us. Many of you listening to me right now, if this had gone through, if this false flag operation had gone through, and we would have then provocatively caused a war between us and Cuba, and then Russia decides to intervene and back up Cuba, and whatever the hell happens after that, nukes start flying, many of you listening, to include myself, would not be here. If we were, we'd probably have three arms. So, consider that, America, as we go into the new year. What level of depravity is a government that is unregulated, a government that cannot be reined in, a government that seems to have unlimited power and can have the ability to hide some of the most gross, heinous acts that someone could do to a child, or break laws that any other civilian within its nation would automatically go to prison for? If that government were still leading us in 2022, what would they be capable of? Would they consider the path of the Nazi regime? Or would they consider the path of provocation of war with Russia? I think we're going to see a bit of both. I honestly believe, for whatever reason, these people want to have a war with Russia, and they paint Russia to be this boogeyman of all boogeymans. I honestly could tell you that you should not trust your politicians. If you do involve yourself in voting, do your research of who it is that you're voting for. Don't just quickly look and see if they have a D or an R in front of their name. Do your research. You never know who you are putting in power. And these people, when they get put in power, they do not want to be taken out. You know, I was telling my wife earlier, do you want to get rich quick? She laughed. I said, sure, how? I said, I'll run for Congress. We had a really good laugh. Because if you want to get rich quick, you involve yourself in politics. You don't talk onto a microphone in your house at 1:30, almost 2 o'clock in the morning. That ain't how you get rich. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be coming into a new year. Pray for your safety. Pray for your families. Make sure that you are prepared for at least 6 months to 1 year of not having food readily available. Have gasoline stored. They may try to take down the internet. I am not saying anything that should be considered hypothetical at this point. When these people feel that they may lose power, because they obviously seem to think that they have the power that they need now, when they see that they're going to lose it, that they're going to be voted out of office, that all these diabolical schemes that's taken many generations for them to get through with, to pass, to eventually come to fruition, when it starts to slip out of their hands, they're going to panic. They're going to hit the false flag button. Crazy stuff's going to happen. I'm sure we're not done with COVID. I'm sure we're not done with wars. And I'm pretty sure, as Jesus told us, wars and rumors and wars, that's going to be our future. I humbly ask that you prepare yourself. I'm not selling you anything. I can tell you who to go to, but I'm not selling anything except for the chance and opportunity for you to wake up and be prepared. My name is Doug Thornton. This is American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.